Good day, my name is Ross, and welcome to our third and final session when we talk about discipleship. And we're placing discipleship in the context of purpose. Who are we becoming? And what flows from that, the activities that we live by? All of us are created with this desire, this inclination to be drawn to something. We have the ability to desire and to dream and to hope, to picture something. And all of us, our lives, knowingly or unknowingly, we orientate in that direction. We steer ourselves towards that, what the Bible calls the kingdom, that great life that we want to live. And that's why Jesus came, because Jesus came to restore to us the image of being, of who we were to be when he created us, in the image of God, and how we relate to one another. And secondly, to restore to us our works. We were created to rule and reign with him, to keep and to cultivate the earth, to create what isn't there and to protect what is good. And Jesus came to restore that to us, God's benevolent kingdom, God's benevolent nature in us, to make us new again. So for this session, we're going to look at two pieces, because when we look at discipleship, when we look at God's purpose for us, what is the aim, what is the goal of our discipleship, there are so much that we can say. What does this life of discipleship look like? The answer is so wide, because we can talk about we should be known for the love that we have for one another, and we can look at all the one another texts in the Bible. We can look at our orientation towards the poor and the lost. We can look at the practices of discipleship, to John chapter 15, to dwell in my words, to dwell in prayer, to live a life of communion with God and with one another. We can look at all those, but it's so wide. So let's look at two texts, two last conversations of Jesus. One in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus' Last Supper, his last conversation that he was going to have with his disciples. They didn't know that, but that was the last conversation that he would still be with them on earth as one of them, walking with them, and where he shared his heart for the life which they should live. What does this life of discipleship look like? And then obviously the Great Commission text in the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, where Jesus said, you will not see my face anymore until I return in my kingdom. And he said, so therefore, until I come again, do this one thing. So both being and doing from those two texts. So let's read from the book of Luke, Gospel of Luke, chapter 22. And we're going to read from verses 24 onwards. So this session, Jesus is in Jerusalem. There's a plot to kill him. The disciples are unaware of that. Jesus knows he's going to die. He says it to them in this text. But I want you to get the irony before we read it. Because the disciples were entering Jerusalem and they thought Jesus is going to be the new Caesar, the new king. He's going to take over the world and we're going to reign with him. And in a sense, that's going to happen, but not like they anticipated. And from Jesus' perspective, this was not a celebratory meal. This was a Last Supper, a somber occasion of reflection, cherishing the moment, because they will never have this again. So you must read the irony in there. We know the story. They did not. A dispute also arose among them as to which of them was to be regarded as the greatest. And he said to them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those in authority over them are called benefactors. I'll explain that now. But not so with you. Rather, let the greatest among you become as the youngest, and the leader as one who serves. For who is greater, one who reclines at the table or one who serves? Is it not the one who reclines at the table? But I'm among you as one who serves. You are those who have stayed with me in my trials, and I assign to you, as my Father assigned to me, a kingdom, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel.
Take 10 minutes to reflect on and discuss this session's key Bible passage together with others in your class. If you are watching on your own, take a few minutes to reflect on the key Bible passage by yourself.
It's a very ironic piece, great irony, because, as I said, the disciples were discussing when we entered Jerusalem and when Jesus, with his magic powers, I assume that's what he's going to do, or maybe call a riot, and overthrow the Roman oppression and the corrupt government of Herod the Great, overthrow that so they can become their own ruling party. And obviously they anticipated to become rulers with Jesus, governors, you know, political leaders with lots of benefits, material benefits. They thought it was worth staying with Jesus all this time. And they were discussing this. So who's going to rule who? Are we 12 year, too many governors. So who's going to rule who? And Jesus interrupted them. Now, just to explain the context here, this was written to a first century people. And although the political scene was slightly different from us, I think you'll pick up that regardless of where you sit in the world today, watching this, you can see the same system happening with us. Jesus saying, as in the first century, there were benefactors or patrons like Caesar, Caesar the ruler of the whole known world in that point, who, when he conquered Jerusalem, assigned a puppet to rule on his behalf, giving him great power and wealth, a portion of the tax, so he can do what he wants to. But in doing that, he pays tribute, he gives him authority, he gives him money, power, access to money, so that he can rule on his behalf to extend his power. And he's saying that the rulers do this. They've got these, and he calls him a benefactor. This man is the man, the benefactor. Caesar is the benefactor, the one who positions Herod in power. And Jesus saying, in this world, there's always people who rule and use their authority to extend their rule. There's this want for more, more power, a lust after more power, more money, more prestige. I think John is the one who called those triplets the lust after the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Those things in this world, there's a desire for more. So the one who rules, the one who has authority, wants to keep the authority, and whenever he gives so that he can extend his authority. And Jesus says, listen, it's going to happen differently than you thought, but in a sense, tomorrow, my kingdom is manifesting and it's coming. And when you get your authority, when you rule with me, know this, and this is the last thing, this is the last conversation that Jesus had with these disciples. He shared the most important part of discipleship with them there, the aim, the goal of discipleship. And the goal was not to do something specifically, but yeah, to emulate him, to become like him in the one thing. And he says, I want you to rule like I rule. In my kingdom, it works differently. It's subversive. The greatest becomes the least. And he says, take on the nature, become like a servant. And he doesn't say, and he uses the word deacon, which we use now, but he used it in the first sense. He says, I am one who serves. He makes a noun out of a verb. He says, if you want to ask me what I am a servant. And we have that word. I am a servant. And he uses strong language to say, it's not as though I serve you. I take on the nature, the identity. I become a servant. And Jesus says, this is who I am. Jesus says, in God's kingdom, in this kingdom of discipleship that you are training yourself to be, this is the most important thing. That authority, like, watch me, authority is given to serve the others, not to benefit the self, but to benefit the others. In God's kingdom, he says, this is the God that we serve. In this world, authority is used to benefit yourself, to control, to have, to maintain more. And we can see this. We do this. It's not as though someone else does this. We do this. I think, thinking of the African context, and I've been to India a lot, and I know a lot about South America, but the corruption in the world is exactly the same as we can see in Herod's system here with the tax collectors and everyone. There are benefactors who buy positions of authority to benefit themselves, and the whole country suffers, everyone in the country. Corruption is the dika in the world today. It is the big problem. And Jesus says the heart issue there is one who orientates himself to use his power and authority to serve himself. And Jesus says, if you want to know the essence of my kingdom and of discipleship, it's this: become someone who serves others. Very simple. It's an orientation towards servitude. The identity is taking on the identity in the servant. Jesus elsewhere in the gospel is quoted by saying, I did not come to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. And in Matthew 11, he uses this word and he says, come and learn from me learn from me, take my easy yoke. And he says, I am lowly of heart and meek in nature. And he says, listen, I don't think that I'm much. And the disciples couldn't see this because when in the other Gospels, when Jesus, when this account is recorded in John's Gospel, chapter 13, Jesus falls down on his knees and washes their feet. Literally, I'm one who serves. Literally, I'm one who serves. And it's not a metaphorical thing. It's an orientation of life. That with the grace and with the power and with the influence that I have, I am empowered to serve. I'm blessed to be a blessing. I'm empowered to serve. That's the kingdom that God promised Abraham long ago. Orientation of service. In the New Testament, we see the same. Paul introduces himself to the Romans, a church that he's never been to. He's known there, but he's never been there. And when he introduces himself to him, he says, Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ. It is the essential nature of discipleship. It is to see yourself as one who serves, not as one who has the right. The sickness of our era, entitlement. You owe me. Kingdom mindset, I owe you. Owe one another, Paul says, nothing except to love one another, to serve one another. So, Luke chapter 22, the last account of Jesus to his disciples at the Great Supper, the last time he sat around the table before his crucifixion, before he received his kingdom, he said, let me tell you the most important thing, embody servitude. Become someone who serves. That is your identity. And from your identity, obviously, will flow your actions of service. Use every means possible at your disposal to serve the others. This is the God that I am. Let my image be restored in you. Become a servant. The second conversation we're going to look now is Matthew's conversation, the last conversation that Jesus had with his disciples before ascending to take his position as rightful ruler and mediator before Christ. And in Matthew chapter 28, a well-known text, we read the other most important thing about discipleship, which is an activity of doing. This one is being, that one is doing. I trust you have the text with me open. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and he said to them, all authority in heaven and earth is given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. All these commands in the book of Matthew. Teach them everything. And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. In both these texts, you will see that Jesus receives a kingdom and he gives a kingdom. And in this text, you'll see that the focus of discipleship, when he says to them the last thing, he says, this is the most important thing that I'm telling you to do. The most important thing that I'm telling you that you should occupy your mind, should orientate your life, your purpose in terms of what you should do. This is your primary objective. Make disciples of all nations. It has to do with the proclamation of the good news of that Jesus reigns, a demonstration of that reign, and the teaching of how does one embody this life that Jesus has. And it comes back to the same thing. These two texts come together beautifully because it says, whatever you have, use to serve others and use to serve God and his kingdom. And if you want to know what discipleship is all about, what is this goal? What is the purpose of my life and your life? We said that the most important thing is to become like Jesus. Here we say simply, the most important thing is to emulate Jesus' selfless nature. Daniel Migliori, amazing theologian, systematic theologian, he said, when we think about God, when we write about the triune God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, which Jesus blessed them here with, when we think about him, if we want to say, what is this God like? He says, this God is like this. If you study everything, he's eternally self-giving, other-regarding, community-forming love. And these two phrases of Jesus saying, become a servant and make disciples, when you bring them together, it says that this is the nature that we should embody of God. Someone who considers the other, other-regarding, always regarding the other more important in community, serving the other with my blessings, with my need, not consider myself, but consider the other one. And he says, other regarding, self-regarding, self-giving, other-regarding, community-forming love, to draw others in through the hospitality and the grace of God, and therefore make disciples, life-on-life discipleship. Teach them what I know, give them what I have, share my life with them, so that together we may emulate the grace and the love of God, that we can be known by the love that we have for one another. These three sessions are short when we consider the vast work of the church is discipleship. That is the task of the church. But I think in these three, you get the essence of discipleship, and it's enough to work with, I think, as for life. The first one, we looked and we saw that the purpose of life, our purpose in life, is to make disciples, to become like Jesus, to emulate him, to live like him, to be restored into his image, and to participate with his work. Secondly, we saw that it is a priority. It is essential for us to participate with him, and the urgency of renouncing self, renouncing all other allegiance, whether it's family or anything else, and renouncing a pursuit of worldly goods, to orientate our life to know that this is the most important thing for us to do, is to become like him and to participate in his work. And lastly, we saw what is this work like, and the work is like this, very simple. It is to embody the humble servitude nature of God, and secondly, to proclaim this and share this with others, to share this life, this gift of the kingdom, the reward that I found with others in proclaiming it and demonstrating it, that they too may see that true life and true purpose and true meaning is found in pursuing Christ and sharing in his kingdom. Maybe a good activity to conclude this session of discipleship would be to reflect and to think through my life. Who were those people who generously shared their life and their knowledge and the grace of Christ with me, who shaped me, influenced me to become someone who desires after God and who knows something about this graceful kingdom living that I live today? Who blessed me? Who were the benefactors that blessed me so that I can pay it forward for God's sake? Think about those people. And then secondly, think also of the people in your life. Who are the people that your life has contact, meaningful contact with? And ask yourself, in which way does my life serve them to know God more? That Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 is really helpful for this. It says that when we gather, this is the intent of the gathering, Hebrews 10, 24. It says, therefore consider, think, soberly think, of how we can stir one another to love and to good works. And think of that. In which way does my life help others inside or outside the church to stir them towards love and good works, to know Jesus, the loving person, and to participate in his work. So, Father, I thank you, God, that you use all things for our good. I thank you, God, that you are always at work in us, in every activity, even in this session, God, you are at work in us. And your Spirit, God, is shaping us to become like Jesus. You give us the desire and the will to follow after you. And Lord, we pray this. We pray, God, that you will help us that the nature, the servant, humble nature of Jesus becomes our nature in an increasing way, God, that we can be those self-giving, other-regarding, community-forming people, God, disciples, witnesses of yours. And I pray in Jesus' name, God, that through your Spirit, you will bless us with the boldness to share of your grace and to share of your goodness in our lives, that others may hear of it and be glad because they know that certainly God is alive among us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Take 15 minutes to reflect on and discuss the following points together with others in your class. If you are watching on your own, take a few minutes to reflect on the points by yourself. You can find the discussion points in your Bible school handbook. Look out for the Living the Word sections in each session.